You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I want to talk about marriage, but more specifically, I want to talk about borderline and being married to a spouse with borderline. I occasionally talk about borderline here on the show because it's something that I specialize in. And for people that don't know what borderline is, it's borderline personality disorder, or BPD. And this is a specific condition that people have. And in no way am I putting anybody down on this show that has BPD. But what I want to do with tonight's show is to shine some light on the situation for anybody that's married to someone that they feel may have a number of the characteristics of borderline. I want to shine some light into the situation, and I want to offer some help to the folks in these relationships that feel as if they have lost themselves. I specialize in this in my treatment, and I have been in a relationship a long time ago with a borderline, and I understand honestly how to deal with it, and I also understand both sides of the equation. But I've realized a lot of stuff through my own life, but in my own training, that there's certain things that we can't overlook. And there are certain caveats and certain things that I can offer you on this show right now that'll help you change your life and, more than anything, better your quality of life. Oftentimes, I have clients that reach out to me because I've done some shows that are on YouTube that have hit over, you know, the 60, 70,000 listener mark, and it gets people realizing where they are in their life. Where they are in their life and what's really going on. Because oftentimes BPD can be that elephant in the room. And I love elephants, but this is a different type of elephant in the room that you can't really pinpoint at the time. And a lot of people think that it can mimic, you know, some people feel like there's characteristics of depression, which there are. Characteristics of manic, which there is. Bipolar is one that a lot of people, you know, wonder. But BPD is its own type of rationale. And for anybody that has BPD, that has gone through treatment and is working on treatment, kudos. You're an amazing individual who deserves respect because it's a tough road. But if you believe in yourself, you can overcome it and you can live with it. And you can educate yourself so that you know how to deal when certain things come in to your headspace or in your emotional feeling or in your gut. And you can kind of deal with that, you know, instead of lashing out or fighting when you feel like somebody might abandon you. You realize, okay, this is a trigger point for me and I need to step back and I need to take a breath. And this person is not here to hurt me and I don't need to lash out at them and subsequently hurt them. What I found, though, in my studies is that there's a small portion of folks that have BPD that actually agree that they do have a problem that they need to work on, that they do have a condition that they need to work on, and actually follow through with that therapy. It's like anything else. If you have depression or anxiety or anything like that, when you actually work to better yourself, it goes a long way, and it shows people that you actually not only care about the people around you, but you also care about yourself. So I'm going to go back and forth a little bit in this show and explain why. I'm going to explain the situation and the person that's dealing with the spouse that has borderline. I'm going to explain some tips for those folks to move on in their life and to try to work through the situation and to try to get themselves back and to not be a shell of a person anymore. I'm also going to talk about why the borderline has a tendency of doing these types of things, just so it makes it more understandable. But at the same time, you know, at the end of the show, I'm going to give several caveats and some very important points that can't be overlooked. because this is important. I'm talking about your life here, okay? And you got one of them. You got one life, and the way you live it, you got one life to live. And it all depends on you, how you want to live that life, if you want to live it for someone else. But we came into this world on our own. Even if you were a twin, even if you were a triplet, you came in on your own. They didn't, that the brother and sister was not born at the same time as you. It might have been a minute apart, it might have been half a second apart, doesn't matter. Point is that it didn't happen at the same time. Not a half a second, half a minute, whatever. You see what I'm saying? But we die on our own too. I mean, occasionally people will die within a few minutes of each other. They're doing some research on that. I have a friend of mine that's actually doing some research on couples that have been together that die together. And we'll be doing a show about that here in the future, but it rarely happens. So basically what I'm saying is you come into this world on your own and you leave on your own. So you better get to know yourself. And wouldn't that mean that if that's really true, which it is, then part of your purpose is to find your true self and your calling. And your purpose and your calling isn't about taking care of one other person. It might be about helping society and helping humanity and feeding the poor and opening the minds of folks, but it's not your purpose to take care of somebody to the point that you lose yourself in the process and you're inefficient and you can't get your mind in the game and you can't even focus. That is not purpose. Okay? Far from it. And I know several people coming into my office in the last few years. Yes, that is their poster child. That's who they become. No matter if it's a CEO or a surgeon, a doctor, it doesn't matter. A lawyer, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Stay-at-home dad, it doesn't matter. The point is that you can be an extremely intelligent person, and probably even the more intelligent, the more you think that you can make these changes in someone else's life. You feel like if you could just figure out why they're saying this, or you can just help them, that they'll get better. But it's all about ourselves. We have to want to make changes, and no matter what you do from the outside, it's not going to change how somebody feels in the inside. It just doesn't work that way. And I'm not making light of people's pasts, their backgrounds, their upbringing. Some people with BPD have had horrific upbringings, and some people without it have had horrific upbringings. So we're not going to sit there and talk about upbringings and past, because in order to get to our purpose in life, we have to accept the past, forgive our role in the past, and move forward in our life. And when we're able to do that, we actually put purpose and we put spirit and we put belief ahead of the stories and the past that we've told and that we've lived. You know, in the last few years, I have helped several clients when they've been at the steps that they feel as though their life is completely falling apart. It's completely falling apart. And it usually begins when I ask a question, you know, how do you feel about yourself? And you can hear most of these clients trying to piecemeal an idea. And so I respond back with, so do you feel like you become a shell of a person? That's an immediate yes with 100% of the clientele. Their response is they feel like they're not themselves, that they've lost themselves. They feel inefficient. They feel like they can't focus on their day-to-day job. No matter how intelligent you are, no matter how many degrees you have, no matter what, can't focus. Their eye is not on the prize. They have too much going on in their personal life to keep it together. You know, I find it very interesting too, because oftentimes these same clients feel beaten down. They feel as though they don't know how to think. They don't know what direction they go, and they are quite confused in their life, period. They're unhappy. No matter how fulfilling their career is, they are completely unhappy, and it all boils down to their home life. And I think many of you out there, even if you're not living in the situation, but you've been married or currently married, you know the value of coming home to a spouse who actually cares, but has the ability to care and the ability to love, okay? And that's a very interesting situation, because when you do have a spouse who can love you unconditionally and is happy to see you it changes the dynamic. It makes the marriage not only bearable, but happy. And it makes it something that adds to your quality of life instead of taking from your quality of life. And so throughout tonight's show, I'm going to give 10 characteristics of somebody who's in a marriage with somebody who exhibits symptoms and characteristics of BPD. And I'm going to talk about why you're in it and why you stayed so long. Because I think a lot of times the confusion is so overwhelming, and the desire to save the other person and the care about not wanting to get divorced has you unable to see clearly your life, the next step, and honestly, what you can do to better your life and do the right thing all the way around. Check out the website, AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. Check out the latest radio shows, as well as check out the podcast on Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Leave Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 2 shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, marriage for some of us can be tough. I know that sometimes marriage for many of us feels a little overwhelming. We've had to go through the ups and downs. We know that marriage takes work and dedication. But what happens when you're in a marriage that there's problems, constant problems, severe problems? Problems to the effect that you feel ineffective, you can't concentrate, your work is suffering, everything in your life is suffering, and when you go home, you too suffer every night. How do you deal with that? And I know some of you out there are saying, you know what, I wouldn't deal with it. And I understand that, and I respect that. But it's not until you're in the situation that you understand exactly what I'm talking about. And in this situation, I want to ask, are you married to a borderline? If you're married to a borderline and you're currently trying to hold the relationship together and trying to understand what's going on, this show is for you. When I'm working with clients, the first thing that I often hear while we're doing evaluation is that they feel as though they're a shell of a person. That they have lost their identity, they no longer know who they are, they're trying to please and people please at all times at home, they're trying to just do the littlest bit they can to go under the radar, to not get yelled at, to not have a full-on fight, but also to just kind of keep it together. And it's interesting because as this person goes through this process and years of a marriage, and it could show up very at the very beginning of a marriage, or it could slowly creep up. And I think oftentimes, though, prior to getting married, there were glimpses of knowing that there was something going on. But a lot of times, it's overlooked. Or you feel like it's a one-off, so it's not that big of a deal. It's just a drop in the bucket. It's not going to happen again. No big deal. But that's not the truth. And, you know, to the other side of the coin here, oftentimes when somebody is in a marriage with somebody that has a condition that they do not want to look at or do not want to pay attention to or don't believe that they have, oftentimes we also, the other spouse, also needs to look within themselves to know why they didn't see that in the beginning. But you can't beat yourself down and beat yourself up over things that, well, you know what, you wanted to probably overlook. Because everybody wants that storybook wedding and that marriage where you're happy and everything's great and it's wonderful. And we want to overlook some of the weird things and the off things because we want it to go well. We want it to be a good marriage. We want to, you know, we want to believe in the process when a lot of times there were warning signs and red flags that we just didn't pay attention to. So, however, even if you didn't pay attention to those, you still have action that can be done and you can still take back your life. One thing that I often hear from clients is that they feel as though they're going crazy. They feel as though they are losing their mind. And often when they come into my office, they say, well, I might be going crazy. I could be losing it. I mean, I'm totally, you know, I don't know. And all these things start coming out of their mouth. Well, I'm not smart. I'm an idiot. All these different things. And you start hearing this negative language that's being used. And I often wonder where that's coming from, because negative language that's being used could have been something from childhood. You know, maybe your parents were not very good parents and put you down and made you feel bad. It could have been some kids in school. It could have been your own self-esteem issues. But oftentimes in a marriage, when people are at a certain age, it's the spouse that is telling the other person that they're crazy, that they're a loser, that they're an ass, all the above. And when that client comes into my office, they are spewing that out because that's what they hear all the time, okay? Because the person that's closest to you usually is your spouse. And recently I was talking to a client and they feel as though they were going crazy. And the reason for that, though, is they're being constantly told by their spouse that they're crazy. And that's an interesting thing. So I don't know if any of you have ever gone through a marriage and divorce through cheating, and the spouse was constantly telling you that you were cheating, when in reality you find out that they were constantly cheating on you. And that's a very interesting situation, because it was deflection, right? Okay, look over here. Don't pay attention to me. Let's look at your problem. Even though this person's not cheating, I'm going to put that on them. Oh, I know you're cheating on me. Have them trying to defend themselves while I'm over here cheating all over town. And that's kind of the same situation here, is that when somebody is dealing with a psychological issue at the time, they might tell the other person that they are too. And that can be for deflection. It could be to manipulate that other person. It can also be that person telling the other person that they're off or they're psychologically imbalanced because they're actually thinking, actually subconsciously about themselves, okay? Because it's very interesting in life. Oftentimes when we're dealing with other people, the way they interact with us and talk to us is not really directed toward us. It's actually within their own mindset. And what we're hearing and what they're saying is really for their own self to hear and not for us. However, let's flip that around and use it from the manipulation side. So if somebody's trying to tell you that you're going crazy and using this to mentally harass you, almost like a gaslighting technique, this is definite manipulation. The problem with this type of manipulation is that you begin to believe it. The longer somebody says that you have a problem, the longer somebody tells you that you're crazy, the longer that you're going to believe it. And over time, you are going to believe it hook, line, and sinker that you have a true problem. You don't know what it is yet, but you got a real problem, okay? Because they keep telling you you got it. And that to me is direct manipulation. If you're in this situation right now, be aware that you have a crisis in your marriage and you've got to figure out how to deal with it or how to let go. You know, the next thing I want to talk about is oftentimes when you're in a marriage with somebody who's suffering with BPD, they are constantly giving you requirements to keep the marriage. And what I mean by that is, example, you get home after work and, you know, the dishes are out or there's something that needs to be cleaned up or the trash wasn't taken out or the dog hadn't had a walk. And the response, usually the conversation begins with, you know, I want a divorce. Okay, I've had enough of this. I just want a divorce. I mean, you never do what I say. You know, I mean, this is a requirement. This is a requirement. Let's go on and write this stuff down because you need to have this taken care of. You know, you need to listen to me and this needs to be part of your regimen if you want to keep this marriage. You know, I find it interesting in a lot of argumentations, especially in marriage, is that one spouse likes to constantly use the divorce card, okay? Even if it's in a drama setting, even if it's just pure manipulation tactic to make the other person feel like crap, they like to use that because they often use it against the person that definitely wants to keep the marriage together, okay? You're not going to use it on the person that doesn't give a crap. They'll be like, sure, let's go get the papers today and let's get this thing over with. But no, it's the person that's trying to save the marriage. It's the person that believes in the sanctity of marriage and believes in that sanctity over the sanity of what and the insanity of what's truly going on. However, you can fall trap into that because you're wanting to save the marriage. So when somebody is giving you a list of duties that have to be fulfilled on a daily basis, or this marriage is not going to last and I'm going to have a divorce, that to me is another sign that you might be in a marriage with somebody who is suffering from BPD. Now, that could go different ways with different situations, but it can be a sub sign that you are. And if you are given these ultimatums on a constant basis, it can be overwhelming because you don't want to rock the boat too much. You don't want to get them even angrier. And you're just like, okay, okay, okay. But you're losing yourself in the process. And even some of those times when you say, okay, 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 that doesn't get you out of the water either. And a full-on argument or a full-on fight begins at that point in time. You know, the next thing that I find oftentimes with clients of mine who are married to someone who has BPD is that they tend to lose most of their friends. They tend to lose most of their friends because they don't have any time to see them, and they're pretty much not allowed to see their friends anyway. Some of you listening to this show right now might have a friend that you haven't seen in a long time since they got married, and you're like, oh, is that what it is? Well, it may be, and it may not be, but that is a possibility. You know, oftentimes, when folks get married and, you know, the marriage in the beginning, you know, many of us haven't ever been married before. It's the first time, so they don't really know what you're getting into. And when somebody says, hey, I don't really want you hanging out with the guys for that, let's just stay at home. Okay, fine. Yeah, I don't really want you hanging out with the guys. And then what happens when all of a sudden, yeah, I don't like your friends. I don't like your friends, and I think they're bad people, and I don't like the way that he talks, and I don't like this and that. And then the next thing, I don't want to invite them to our party. I don't want them over at the house. And then the next thing you know, all this is happening, and you haven't seen your friends, and now you're not allowed to hang out with your friends because they're not good enough. Or there's something wrong with them. Or I overheard them say XYZ, which may or may not have ever happened. But all of a sudden, you can't hang out with John or Mark or anybody because they're not good people, okay? And it gets interesting because then, who do you hang out with? And then all of a sudden, there might be other friends that your spouse will allow you to hang out with that are, it's kind of on their terms, right? But it seems eventually you kind of whittle down to nobody. You whittle down to nobody because you're really not allowed to have friends, and you don't even have enough bandwidth to have those friends because you try to hang out with them and you're having to change plans every time because your spouse is on to the fact that you're actually going to go out without them, or you're going to include this person that they do not want around you, period. We'll talk a little bit more about that here when I return. Stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Many of you out there are married, and you know that marriage, well, it can be challenging sometimes, but it can be rewarding as well. But some of you out there are married in a situation right now that doesn't seem very rewarding. It seems quite the opposite. It seems very, very tough, painful, heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching pain. And if you're in that situation, or if you know somebody that happens to be in that situation, I would like you to point out this show to them so that they can hear it, they can re-listen to it, and they can share it with anybody that's dealing with it as well, but also help them to give them the knowledge that they can get out of it, they can change their life, and they can move on. And right before the break, I was talking about when you're in a marriage and the spouse is constantly giving you requirements for the marriage and saying, if you don't follow these types of requirements, or you don't follow what I say, or you don't do what I say you to do, then I want a divorce. And it's a very interesting situation, and I've had several clients come into my office dealing with this exact same thing. And it's very interesting because for the spouse, they don't need to do any of this stuff. It's just about you complying to everything that they want. And this is really quite insane. Because if you're doing everything that a normal person is doing, as far as, you know, you're helping around the house as much as you can, you're working, you're doing the laundry you can or whatever, but it's these little requirements, and usually these requirements are yelled at you or argued with you about, or perhaps your spouse begins to cry about these requirements, making you feel even worse that you haven't done them. But the word divorce is constantly used in this segue to make you scared that they are going to leave you. And you are doubly scared because many of you out there want to protect and keep the marriage because it matters to you. And you don't want to be the person that gets the divorce. And so that person is kind of manipulating you and using that tactic, knowing full and well that you definitely don't want a divorce and you will do anything they ask you to do just for them to stop yelling and also for them not to leave you. You know, the next thing is lost friends. You know, many of you out there, if you're in a marriage with somebody that's got BPD, and this is not just for BPD, this is for other things as well, but I'm really focusing on being married to someone with borderline personality disorder. And one of the biggest things that you are experiencing is the loss of friends. You have very few friends around. You might have been somebody that had a lot of friends, hung out with a lot of people, but the longer that you've been married to this person, your friend list has dwindled because you rarely hang out with them. When you try to make plans, your spouse throws a monkey wrench in it. The people that you've tried to invite over to the house are not good enough. Your spouse doesn't like them, doesn't want to see them very much, not happy with their wife or husband or what they do for a living or what they said 4 years ago at a party or that they were disrespectful once, or, and the list goes on. And when you care about those friends and you've tried to stand up for your friends in front of your spouse and it doesn't work and it just gets you into another full-on argument, you don't want to stand up anymore for your friends. So you just get quiet and you go, okay, I won't invite John over again. Okay. And some of you go, you know, hey, screw it. I'm still going to go hang out with my friends, but you pay for it. You pay for it. You pay hard for it. And the interesting thing is that you don't even really have any fun when you finally do get out because you're too busy telling your friends and them asking you why they haven't seen you and you going through what's going on in your life. And basically, it's like having marriage counseling with your best friends. You don't even have any fun. And you're too freaked out because you know you better get back at a decent time. You're going to get it. You're going to get yelled at. You're going to scream it out. It's going to be a really awful night. All just to see these people. And so eventually you just kind of block these people out because it's not worth it. I mean, rocking this boat is not worth it. You'd rather just make this person happy, just have them be quiet, not have to hear from them, not have to hear about it. And even though you lose half your friends or all your friends, you'd rather have that than rock the boat. The next thing that I often see when somebody's married to a borderline is that you rarely see your family as well. You rarely see your family as well because your spouse doesn't like them, doesn't want them around, finds fault, finds problems, constantly finding fault and problems with your mom or your dad or your aunt and your uncle or whoever, and makes little comments. It begins with these little small comments here and there, you know. And then eventually, yeah, I don't like your mom. I mean, she's so mean and she's so rude. And I couldn't believe how rude she was the other day. And then it begins to be a problem every time your family is coming over. Your spouse begins to fight with you, either might fight with you like screaming and yelling and that type of thing, or go the other direction of crying and getting completely sad. And just the waterworks. I just don't know why you invited your family over here. We were having such a great day. It's just so awful that you're doing that. I mean, we were having such a good time. Can't you just call them and tell them to come over another time? What happens? You feel bad about your family, but what do? You don't want to rock the boat. You get on the phone and say, hey, mom, dad, you know, today's just not a great day. I'm not feeling that good. Or Ellen's not feeling that good. Can we rain check it? And guess what? This happens over and over and over again. And you begin to have a wedge with your family because you never see them because they're not allowed. Your spouse doesn't want them around, doesn't want your friends around, doesn't want your family around. You see where this is going, right? You become alone, a loner. Because they have you right where they want you. They want you on your own. They don't want anybody around you. They want to have you on your own. Part of it's manipulation because if you get away from them too long, you might actually see what's going on. But the other part of it is that they are so scared of abandonment that they don't want to have anybody from the outside taking away from their time with you they also don't want to lose you. So they see other people around you in your life as possible people to take you away from them. And also they want to have complete control. And when you've allowed your family to go by the wayside, which you should never do, but it happens and it's okay. Don't beat yourself up over it. If it's happened, you can get the relationship back because all you have to do is explain the situation, meet with your family. It might take a while because they might be very hurt, but over time they'll understand. You will apologize and you will show yourself honestly and respectfully to them. But you know what? It's when that happens and then you begin to lose your friends and you begin to be that one person, that's it. You're the target one. Two, you are under full control. Okay? You are being fully controlled because you're not allowing yourself to even live or even hang out with other people because you don't want to rock the boat. You don't want to have any arguments with your spouse. You just want to keep things good. But how good does that keep things when you can't even be yourself? Who are you anymore, for God's sakes? Can't see your family. Can't see your friends. You just want to not upset the bear. You see what I'm saying? That gets really tough. And I've had clients that have come into my office that have been living this life for 10 or 12 years. 10 or 12 years. That's painful. And even if you've been in this life for 10 or 12 years, you can get a better life. You can move on. You can get your life back. But you've got to recognize the situation you're in. And you've got to begin to make some steps and make some plans to changing up where you are right now. Another indicator that you may be married in a relationship with a borderline is that your brain is preoccupied by this situation all the time. Okay? No matter what job you're doing, no matter if you're doing heart surgery on a patient in the ER, you are still somewhat thinking about this. Okay? Because you cannot compartmentalize a situation like this. It just doesn't work. When you're being emotionally and mentally basically abused, okay, you can't overlook this. It's like a kid that goes to school every day in elementary school and gets the crap beat out of him by the bully is not going to experience a good school day. They're not going to experience a good school year, even if they get straight A's. Even if they get straight A's and they're on like the national whatever and da-da-da-da, even if they get all this stuff, right, they're still not going to be happy. Why is that? Because they're getting beaten up every day. They're getting beaten up every single day. They can't see anything past that. Doesn't matter if they get straight A's. Doesn't matter if everybody in school loves them. That one bully is ruining it. And when you're in a marriage where you are going through this type of emotional beatdown on a constant basis and trying to save the marriage and hold it together and do all this stuff, you are dealing with that bully that's beating you up. And I know that's a metaphor, okay? I understand that. And I'm not saying that that folks that have BPD necessarily know exactly what they're doing, because a lot of this could be a lifetime of manipulation from family and mentally learned and emotionally learned, which is normally what it is. They don't really know exactly what they're doing. But does that matter? Even if somebody consciously has no idea what they're doing, if they're beating you up, do you stick around? Because it's even worse. When they don't even know what they're doing, there is no fault. Do you understand what I'm saying? If they don't know what they're doing, there is no fault. So there is nothing to blame. You are to blame. Because the way that they see it is you are the problem because you're different. What's wrong with you? Why are you acting this way? Why are you being this way? Why are you saying this stuff? Why are you telling me something wrong? Because they don't believe it, because they don't understand it, because that's not part of their reality. End of story. So you're trying to help somebody that doesn't even know that they have a problem. They see you as having the clear problem, not them. And that becomes the issue. And because of that, and especially the smarter you are, by the way, the smarter you are, the tougher it is to leave this relationship, because you keep blaming yourself and you keep believing that things are going to change and that one day this epiphany is going to come out and you're going to figure out all this stuff and you're going to help your spouse and you're going to love each other forever and it's going to be the best marriage ever and she or he's going to figure out his issues and you can embrace and it'll all be better. Well, you know what? That's probably not going to happen. But you're so preoccupied with trying to find the solutions that you don't realize that there might not be a solution. But also, you're too busy trying to change them when you need to be focusing on getting yourself out of the situation to be able to give yourself enough clarity to perhaps later on help them or to move on with your life, which might actually help them as well. Stay tuned. I'll be talking more about borderline, about being married to borderline, and what you can do if you're in a marriage right now with a borderline, and how to try to get out unscathed. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burge, will be back in, back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. I've been talking about marriage, about being married to someone that has borderline personality disorder, how to deal with it, how to know that you are, how to identify the elephant in the room, and what you can do about it. Because you don't really hear a lot of talk shows or shows on any of this, and so many of you out there are completely, well, you're lost, you become a shell of a person, you don't know what to do, you feel as though you may be crazy, you're being constantly demanded upon, you've lost your friends, your family, you don't see them anymore because you're really not allowed to, because you don't want to rock the boat, because your spouse can't stand them, doesn't want them around, and so you're left there on your own. And no matter what you do as a career, your brain is completely preoccupied by this situation all the time. There's no way it can't, okay? Like I was talking about earlier with the kid that's getting bullied at school and gets beaten up once a week. Let's just say once a week or even every day. You get a little beaten up every day. It doesn't matter if you have straight A's in school and everybody loves you and you're the president of this club and you're going to be the alumni of the world. It doesn't matter. If you're getting beaten up every day, all you think about when you go to school is, God, I don't want to get beat up. And all you can think about is that. So when you're in your classes, you're thinking about being beat up. When you show up at class, when you show up to school, you think about being beat up. When you're leaving, you don't know when you're going to get beat up. So you're always worried. If you're in a marriage like this, you have no idea. You are completely preoccupied by this. So this is getting every area of your life, including your career, anything else you got going on, which what I found with most people that are dealing with this type of situation, their life has become almost cavernous. Like it's almost just like a cave. Like there's only a few things in their life now. Like they want to limit the people around them because they don't want the spouse to argue or get upset. They limit their activities because the spouse gets angry when they're not around, or and when they're around, they don't want them to be around, so they don't know what to do. So they're constantly in a push and pull situation. You know, oftentimes this can lead to, you know, a feeling of just, you know, a destitute and a feeling of being a shell of a person. You know, the next thing is that you want to have a normal life, but you have no idea what it is. The longer you've been married in the situation, the longer you have been away from what a normal life is. Let me explain what a normal marriage is, just for everybody out there. Okay. Yes, marriages have arguments, okay? You're not going to be argument-free. There is no perfect marriage, okay? End of story. However, a good marriage is one where you come home and y'all are happy to see each other. There might be some arguments, but they're small. They're not that big. And everybody goes through changes. You know, if there's a death in the family or something like that, it can lead to a little bit of depression and issues like that. But for the most part, you're happy to see each other. You add to each other's quality of life. You build each other up. You're not yelling, screaming, hitting, profusely crying to get your way. There's not manipulation going on back and forth to gaslight or to make somebody feel crazy. There's not a bunch of control issues and manipulation to gain control. And it's quite the contrary. It's actually refreshing. And you feel as though not only is your marriage good, but you have a good friend in your spouse. And that's what a good marriage is. And I know that for many people in this situation, their life has been anything but normal for so long that you just don't even know what normal is. And you would love to see that again, but it's just so off the radar. And so if you're in the situation, you're being constantly manipulated and you're constantly feeling like a shell of a person and you don't want to rock the boat, and rocking the boat means like hanging out with a friend or having a family member over or saying anything or doing anything that can start an argument, this is a problem. This is not a normal life, okay? You know, I also find it interesting when folks are in the situation that even though they might know and recognize that they are in this situation and that their spouse does have many of the qualifications of having BPD, and they are feeling as though they are a shell of a person, and they are fearful of the situation, and they are being told constantly that they're, you know, that the person wants a divorce and all this stuff, and they're totally, completely preoccupied with the situation, there's still this want and desire to hold on to the marriage. There's still a want or desire to hold on to the marriage. And I feel that part of this desire to hold on to the marriage is similar to the Stockholm Syndrome. And I don't know if you're familiar with what that is, but the Stockholm Syndrome is feelings of trust or affection in certain cases of kidnapping or hostage situations taken by a victim toward their captor. And I find that very interesting because, you know, we hear about that oftentimes when, you know, people have been victimized and you know, kidnapped or taken hostage. And you see movies about it where they end up having feelings for their captor, for the person that, you know, took them hostage. And I feel that in some degree, when people are married for a period of time with somebody that has borderline personality disorder, it's kind of the same thing because, and a lot of times in these situations, they begin to have no friends. Okay? You know, the other person loses their friends because they're not allowed to hang out. They don't want to rock the boat, then eventually loses their family because, you know, the spouse finds issues with the family. Your mom's really rude, or your dad, or he made that comment about me on Christmas, and I can't ever forgive that. I don't want to ever see them again. And so you either start sneaking around to see your family, or you just cut them out because you don't want to deal with it. You don't want to deal with the anger from your spouse. And I think that that leads to the Stockholm Syndrome because you begin to be on your own with that other person. And that other person has all the time on their hands to manipulate your mind, whether or not they honestly, consciously even realize they're doing it, still doing it. And so that's the key, is that when you're in a situation like that, especially on your own, there's no one to sit there and say, hey, John, this doesn't seem right. Don't you think this seems weird? I mean, you're kind of being berated for just being like a human being that's breathing and air today at the house. And I mean, just from an outside perspective looking in, this doesn't seem very normal. You see what I'm saying? The less people around, the less witnesses, the better. Because they just want to control you. Because they feel out of control. So if I can control something when I feel out of control, then that's good because that makes me feel better. Okay? That's the key. And it's very interesting in this situation because oftentimes when you are married to someone with BPD, you might feel five emotions at one time because what they say or the text message that they send you at the middle of the day at work or the voicemail they leave you can have you thinking three different emotions, feeling three different emotions, not even knowing what's up is down and down and up. And that's a very interesting dynamic. You know, another thing that I find often is true in these relationships is that to a certain degree, the sex is kind of wild. The sex is kind of wild. You know, I find that most people tell me that their spouse does things in bed that others haven't done. That they are more kind of animalistic in bed. And it's kind of fun and exciting. And they get kind of addicted to that sex. It's an addictive component. They get very addicted to that type of sex. And it becomes a mental hold on the other person because they haven't had that type of sex. But also, the sex is like is kind of like coming together and having that one-on-one, that deep intimacy. But a lot of times when you're having sex with a borderline, it becomes, it might be really genuinely hot, but it's more animalistic. It doesn't have that emotion. It's not about making love anymore. It's about having full-on sex. And you got to sit there and be able to divide that out and realize that emotionally that other person might not be there, but also you've got to realize that, are you willing to stick in this situation over this sex for the rest of your life? Because there are other people that you can have sex with. Sure, it might not be at that level, but isn't the sex at that level because you can't connect with them in a real love way? Do you understand? Okay, the best sex that most people have is in relationships when they cannot get actually emotionally close to the person. because they can't. And the reason for that is that in order to be loved and to truly love someone, you have to love yourself. Honestly love yourself and care about yourself as a human being and do things to self-actualize and be better than you were yesterday. And in order to do that, you have to love yourself. In order to love someone else, you have to honestly love someone else, not lust after them, not want to have sex with them, not just care about them, but in order to honestly love them in an authentic way, you have to feel the same way and you have to love yourself. And until somebody does that, two people can't really be in real emotional love because it's not real. And so we manufacture that love and we claim that that sex act is real love when it's not. And that's why, though, the closer you're trying to get to somebody and the farther away you're actually feeling, that's when the sex is really good because it's the only time you really connect. But are you really connecting or is it just an act? Okay. But that sex becomes very addictive. And oftentimes in these situations, you know, your spouse might be willing to have sex even in an argument or a fight or when you haven't been talking, which is also an oddity as well. Because most people do not want to have sex when they're fighting. And think about it, because if you truly do love each other and you care about each other, you wouldn't want to have sex under those pretenses unless the argument is BS or unless the love isn't real. And last but not least, if you're in a situation like this, and all these red flags seem to have your name on it, remember that we can only save ourselves. I mean, sure, if you have children, you've got to help them too. But if it's just you and your spouse, unless this person completely asks for your help and said that they have a problem and is willing to seek therapy and actually follow through with it, unless that is the case, you cannot make somebody do anything. You cannot make somebody do anything. Even if you feel like they have a problem or that they are suffering from BPD, that is fine. Because if they don't have a problem in their own mind, then you can't do anything about it. You can live your life in this horrific situation that you're losing yourself in and that you're very unhappy and you can't think straight. You can continue that. Or you can actually do something proactive for your own life and move on. And that could propel that person to get the treatment they need. That could propel the person to begin to understand their situation, and maybe not. But that's not up to you to decide. We cannot make choices for other people because that's going against our karma. We can't choose for other people because that means that we know what's best for them and we don't know what's best for them. That's unfair to say that we know what's best for other people because we don't. On the other hand, you know what's best for you and you need to follow that. The longer you stay off your path, the more painful it's going to be and the longer you have to get back on. I could go on and on for hours about this. If you're in a situation like this, or you have a family member or friend who is, please have them reach out to me. Go to AshleyBurgess.com, Ashley, B-E-R-G-E-S.com. Click on that contact page and send me an email. I will respond back ASAP to help your friend, yourself, or your family member get back on solid ground and define their true life. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 3 shakes.